Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today. Her name is Katie from KTTV, calling in from Australia to talk to us today about trans rights and COVID and everything under the sun. I'm Garrett Carlson, and this is the American Ethos. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And like I said, we have a very special guest today. I'm swiping through TikTok, as I do. You know, I try to get my opinion out there, get as many views as possible, try to promote the podcast, do all that kind of stuff. And I scroll across this woman who is just hella pissed, very upset. And it's about this trans lifter, Laurel Hubbard, whom I'm sure you've all heard about. And she's going off about how trans rights somehow are superseding women's rights, and trans people or trans women are not real women, so why are we treating them like that, you know? And I had to bring her on. So, Katie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. Okay, so I'm Katie. I'm 27. I'm from Australia. I'm just an ordinary, normal woman. Nothing special about me, really.
Nothing hiding.
I'm just seeing the world crumble before my eyes, man, and I'm fucking over it.
So, tell me how, like, the whole TikTok thing got started. Because, I mean, you're, like, basically TikTok famous, right?
I wouldn't say that, dude. I don't know. Honestly, I had like 400 friends on little TikTok before I made that video, like the video that you saw. That went viral overnight, bro. Like, I woke up and it had like 500,000 views and thousands of comments. And it was really quite overwhelming. Like, it was just weird for me. Like, I didn't expect any of that to happen. People were sharing it and duetting it, and yeah, it just sort of took off from there. I've been making videos ever since and just gaining more and more friends each day. Like, it's been pretty organic. Like, I never really set out to try and do that, but fuck me, here we are.
Do you get more hate or do you get more support, would you say, like, in your comment section?
100%. Way, way, way more support. I'm actually surprised at how little hate I get. Like, I get a fair bit, don't get me wrong, but considering how touchy the subjects that I'm talking about are, I was expecting a lot more. Like, I was sort of gearing up for a fair bit more than that. But honestly, I think most people have a problem with trans women going into elite sports. And I know a lot of people don't really voice that opinion because, you know, you get cancelled or get labelled transphobic or whatever. But I'm just saying what everyone else is thinking, and I think that's why it's gone down so well. Like, people resonate with my opinion because they share it.
Yeah, and I think the whole trans issue has more become an issue of common sense. Like, are you willing to buck the status quo, buck the elites, and say, hey, men are not women. Men are men, women are women, blah, blah, blah. And then you get all this hate as soon as you start speaking any amount of truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'll respect someone's pronouns. I think gender dysphoria is a real thing. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous and completely unreasonable to say that trans women are women. They're two different things. And you can't just discount that. You can't just throw trans women in with women who have worked their asses off to get where they are and, you know, call it a day. It's not fair. It's going to completely and utterly destroy women's sports. We've worked really fucking hard. I don't mean myself, obviously, I'm too young, but women in our past have fought extremely hard for the rights that we've got today and to even have our own women's section. And I think, you know, trans women coming into women's sports is just destroying it left, right, and center. Well, the fact that people can't recognize that spins me out.
Well, not even that. I think Miss Las Vegas is actually Mr. Las Vegas. And so, you know, I made a joke. I shared it on my Facebook page, and I was like, oh, men aren't better than women? Well, explain this, you know? And everyone's like, oh, God, you're such a transphobe, you know, that whole nine. When did you really start, like, getting passionate about the women's rights versus trans rights issue?
Honestly, it's been lying dormant in the back of my head for quite a while. I listen to Joe Rogan all the time. And,
I love Joe Rogan.
You know, oh, he's the best, bro. He's one of the only straight talkers and people that are actually brave enough to talk about this short sort of shit. Like, he's not scared of getting cancelled. I don't think people could cancel him if they wanted to. Like, he's so big because he is so real. Like, he's telling the truth. He gets fascinating guests on there. And I can't really remember the exact... It was probably a year ago now. And they had... they were talking about how trans boys, like biological boys that identify as girls, were going into like high school sports and competing against biological women and in colleges and stuff. And they were breaking records left, right and center, taking scholarships and just completely fucking over the girls involved. And I just thought, how the fuck is this allowed? Like, it's not just sport. When you're talking about scholarships, like, you've just stolen someone's education that they might not be able to afford otherwise. Like, that's going to alter their life and, you know, their future. It's a big deal.
Well, absolutely. It's like, you know, what happens when the WNBA decides, hey, our team has sucked for years, and here's this 6'9" trans woman who dunks like LeBron, and you know, technically she's a woman, and we can get brownie points with the culture, and let's just sign her on. And then she dominates the league, scores 75, or he dominates the league, is getting 75 points, 30 boards, and 17 assists a game. Like, I think that's the kind of thing we're dealing with here. And then you look, like, what you already said,
sure.
What you already said, like, some of these girls who have busted their ass to, you know, perfect their craft, whether it be running, basketball, swimming, softball, whatever it is. And then these dudes who have a massive biological edge come in, completely make their work non-existent now, and take their scholarships, take their opportunities. I mean, that's the kind of shit we're dealing with here, and no one wants to talk about it.
Absolutely. And it's not just unfair. It's fucking dangerous, bro. Like, look at Fallon Fox in the MMA. First fight, she cracked that girl's skull open. Like, that is just... oh, it's criminal. I don't understand how anyone in their right mind could support this.
You know, and I understand being inclusive, and I understand trying to, because from what I've heard, you know, like, or from what I've read, the way that they feel like is the best way to treat gender dysphoria is to go along with it, to support that, to embrace the idea that, yes, this man, this 6'5" man, 245-pound man, is actually a female who likes to wear dresses. But for me, I think gender dysphoria is a mental illness. I think the disconnect is obviously some sort of mental illness. And let's look at other mental illnesses that kind of have, you know, the same... that kind of fall along the same line. So, like, eating disorders. An anorexic looks in the mirror and sees, you know, a 45-pound anorexic looks in the mirror and sees a 230-pound fat ass. Or a guy with...
Yes.
Or a guy with body integrity disorder thinks, hey, I should be a, you know, a no-leg war veteran. So what are we going to do with these people? Are we going to look at the anorexic in the face and go, baby... yeah, go to the gym, fat ass. Like, stop eating Twinkies. Stop shoving food in your face. And then are we going to look at the guy with body integrity disorder and be like, you know what? Let's get you in the hospital. Let's chop them legs off. We'll figure it out. And when you put it in perspective like this, yeah. You know, like, why are we telling a man who thinks he is a woman that, yeah, let's turn your dick inside out and make you wear a dress and everything will be fine and we'll give you fake tits and you can wear lipstick and all that. I mean, how is this not... insane. How is this not a mental illness? How is this not indulging in mental illness?
I know. It's the only mental illness that we actually facilitate. We don't address it. We don't try and help them or fix them or, you know, help them see reality. We just go along with it, and it actually perpetuates the problem. Like, I think the most telling sign is that trans people have one of the highest suicide rates among human beings that mm-hmm. there is, and
absolutely.
It doesn't actually diminish after transition. So that tells me that there's pre-existing mental health issues, and transitioning is not the answer.
Well, because even transitioning, like, let's say this, you know, this woman goes through every single masculine or I don't even know what the term what it is, goes through every surgery humanly possible to make them the most masculine man possible. That woman,
yeah.
That now, you know, basically created man, will never, ever, ever be a man. And so that amount of cognitive dissonance that they constantly live with throughout their entire life can't be good for them mentally. So why not address the problem? Instead of indulging in it, why not address it? I mean, I don't, other than therapy, I honestly don't know what, I doubt there's medication, you know?
I know. I mean, like, they go through HRT and they go through these drastic surgeries and they're still unhappy. They're never going to be what they want to be exactly. They're not happy as a woman, so you transition to a man, and then you're not happy as a man because you've still got feminine features, and you're never going to look quite right. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a trans person who passes 100%. There's always something a little bit off about it, and I think that's probably far, far, far more painful for them to look in the mirror every day and be like, fuck, I've gone to so much effort, I've gone to, you know, such extreme lengths to identify with my body, and it's still not worked.
Absolutely. Where else do you see the trans issue becoming a problem? We already talked about sports, schools. Like, what's something that you think people aren't hearing about or aren't talking about?
Okay, so trans activists are trying extremely hard to abolish women-only spaces, such as bathrooms, changing rooms, prisons. And I think that is just the most ridiculous and dangerous idea I've ever heard of. Like, there's a reason that we have women-only spaces, and that's because women and children are vulnerable, and we really do need them. It's not just about etiquette, it's about safety. And I think the moment you leave it up to the individual to self-identify and you know, gain access to women-only spaces, pedophiles, sex offenders, predators, they are going to be fucking cheering right now. They're going to be loving that. Like, what's going to stop a pedophile from putting a dress on and hanging out in the women's bathroom all day? Like, you can't tell from an outside perspective if someone is trans or if they're a pedophile. Like, you can't tell that. And the fact that, you know, we're leaving it up to people to self-identify and we just have to take their word for it. People are dishonest. People are disgusting. And sick people will take advantage of that. And women and children are being placed in harm's way. And that scares the crap out of me.
What do you say to people who listen to what you just said and consider it transphobic?
If anyone thought that was transphobic, I think you need to fucking... have a little chill pill, like have a glass of water. I don't know, you must be dehydrated, because seriously, to say that rapists and sex offenders and predators will not take advantage of that, it is not just ignorant, it's fucking delusional. Of course they will.
You give people like that an inch and they're going to take 17 miles. That's just the way it works. You know, 100%. All it takes to get into the ladies' restroom is put a dress on and say, hey, I'm trans, they're going to do it. They're going to chill in there. They're going to wait for, you know, moms to bring their little girls in there or stuff like that. And that's, I mean, we've already seen that. I mean, shit, I sent you an article before we even got on, you know, actually started recording the podcast, of a woman who was in prison is now pregnant because a trans woman, which, you know, is a man, a trans woman was in her cell and they, I mean, basically raped her, and now she's pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. And like, one of the largest prisons in America, the California Institute, whatever the fuck it's called, like, they've got 6 trans women in there at the moment, pre-operation, completely able to impregnate women. And what's their solution? They're providing the women with free condoms and plan B methods, such as the morning after pill, abortion, and adoption. I'm sorry, but that's not a solution. How about prevention? Why don't we just prevent the pregnancies? Like, it's just nonsense.
Yeah, how about we put dudes in dude prisons?
Yeah, it makes sense, right? Or, like, even if you have to, like, I understand that trans women are vulnerable in a men's prison. Let's make a separate ward for them where, you know, they're safe. I just think that, you know, throwing trans women in with women, it's like throwing a fucking fox in a chicken coop. Like, it's just so, so dangerous, and it's going to be so harmful. Like, not just the safety aspect, but the unwanted pregnancies that this is going to induce is so just scary and unnecessary to me. Like, okay, so what are their options? You could put your baby up for adoption or abort it. They are two extremely traumatic events. And I think that, you know, prison is supposed to be like a rehabilitation center. Like, it's, you fucked up, have some time out, think about what you've done, and then hopefully you can come out the other side and, you know, reintroduce yourself into society. This is going to create some massive trauma, and I don't think it's going to make people well suited to the outside world. I think it's going to damage them even more. Like, they're not going to be normal after this.
Oh, I completely agree. How do you feel the prisons themselves, other than just separating them, should deal with it? Like, how do you think we as a society would deal with something like that?
With trans women in prisons, or?
Yes. Because, so, I mean, I think, like, other than talking to you, I've never heard of this issue. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Your TikTok that I saw, the way they had this conversation, that's the first I've ever heard about it.
Dude, that's the fucking problem. No one knows about this. Well, not no one, but the average person certainly has no idea. You would not believe, like, the first video that I put up saying, hey, guys, we've got trans women in prisons, in women's prisons, and they're supplying them with condoms and Plan B methods. And so many people called bullshit because it was just so unfathomable to them. They were like, no, no, don't believe it. It's not true. And I was like, literally just fucking Google it. Like, it is kind of a bit hush-hush. You would think this would be, like, first-page news, but it's not. They've done it on the down low. And, yeah, like, it's not common knowledge, and I think that's why they're getting away with it, is because just so many people are just not aware of it.
What kind of problems is Australia having? You know, I'm big into American politics. It consumes a majority of my life, and it pisses my wife off and everyone around me off because I can't stop talking about it. But I know nothing about Australian politics. Like, how is this stuff affecting you guys in Australia?
Honestly, it's nowhere near as bad as America. For some reason, it seems to have just gone fucking haywire in America, but it is definitely trickling down. It depends on where you are. Like, I live rurally. I live in the middle of nowhere. And in my community, it's not even a thing. However, I used to live in Melbourne, which is a very progressive city, and I was there 2 years ago, and they just started introducing unisex bathrooms there in order to make room for the trans people. There was heaps of trans protests about it, and quite a few establishments changed their bathrooms to unisex. Now, I was out one night, and it was a unisex bathroom situation, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever, like, it'll be fine. I went to open the door and it caught, and I was like, what the fuck is that? So I popped my head around, and there was this greasy, fucking disgusting piece of shit man waiting there. He put his hand out like to grab me, and I just slammed the door into his guts and ran up to the bar and told the staff. And honestly, I am fucking terrified of public bathrooms for that reason. Like, what would have happened if I had just gone in and locked the door behind me? Like, I think about that event quite often.
Well, and how do women such as yourself, like, defend yourself? Like, my wife carries everywhere we go. Like, me and my family, we have firearms strapped to the hip everywhere we go. Like, how would someone like you defend yourself?
I wouldn't. Like, we don't have that over here. We, like, unless you can fight, you're fucked. Like, I'm like 5'2". I'm very little. I can't defend myself if a man wants to, you know, abuse me. I really can't. Like, I think I've got 3 older brothers, and I can to some extent defend myself, like, by kicking them in the nuts, but that's pretty much it.
I don't think people understand how big of an issue this really is. And you know what, it has nothing to do with the people themselves, with the trans people themselves, because I think deep down, you know, they have a mental illness, they're trying to deal with it, and they've been indoctrinated now to the fact to where they truly believe that the only way to feel good about themselves is to be accepted by everybody else. And I've always been the kind of person that, where if you need other people's, like, if you need other people to accept you, they are not the problem, you are.
100%. I couldn't agree with that more. I think that, you know, if you can't love yourself, or if you can't accept yourself, how the fuck is anyone else going to? I don't know. I think, obviously, there are some genuine trans people out there, like, for sure, where transitioning probably is the best thing for them. But I don't think it's as prominent as it's happening today. Like, we've seen such a huge influx. Like, have you read the book Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier?
I have not.
Okay, so She's basically, she's a journalist and she specializes in social phenomenons. And it came to her attention that teen girls in America are transitioning at a disproportionately high rate. Like, compared to any other demographic, it's about 790% times any other demographic.
Girls are transitioning to boys, or teen boys are transitioning to girls?
Well, yeah, not just that, but any other age demographic. And the reason for that is teenage girls are extraordinarily susceptible to peer pressure and peer contagions. Like, I know myself, when I was a teenage girl, it's a fucking confusing time, bro. Like, I thought I was lesbian for a while there because it was trendy to be a lesbian in my school.
I'd never want to be a woman. Just, you know, just no cap, never want to be a woman in today's world, ever. I am very happy that I am a 6'6", 220-pound man and don't have to deal with any of the bullshit some of you women do.
100%. And, like, that's what she actually mentions, that, you know, that being a woman, you're already vulnerable and, you know, susceptible to sexual abuse and all sorts of things like that. And she thinks that that is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why people are transitioning at such a disproportionate rate, is because, you know, they don't want to be a girl. It sucks being a girl, so they want to transition. And it's such an eye-opening book. In Oregon, you can get you can mosey on into a doctor's office, you can get testosterone or puberty blockers, you can also get a double mastectomy without your parents' permission.
That's insane. I know that in Minnesota, there was a man that just sued a St. Cloud hospital because he had a son. He was 8 years old and autistic, and he was having some issues, took him into the doctor for something completely unrelated. And this doctor, who thinks they have a, you know, PhD in psychology and sociology and now gender ideology, decided that this 8-year-old autistic boy is actually a trans woman lesbian, and started developing a treatment plan for this 8-year-old boy without his mother's or father's consent. So, now the father is suing the hospital. And, I mean, how do we keep kids away from this kind of shit? How do we keep people, you know, like the teenage girls that you're talking about, who see all of this shit on social media, who see it in their high school, and their teachers are talking about acceptance and trans, and if you're not comfortable, maybe you need to change, you know, all this. How do we keep our kids away from that?
Honestly, dude, I don't know. I think the only surefire way is to fucking homeschool and just not give your kid access to the internet, because, like, there are so many trans influencers and trans YouTubers, and kids see this and, you know, they're feeling confused. They don't really understand what's going on. They feel like an outsider or whatever. And then all of a sudden they stumble upon this YouTube channel and it's saying that, hey, do you feel left out? Do you not fit in? Maybe you're trans. And that is just a little seed that gets planted in their tiny little heads, and they go with it because they're like, fuck, it's got to be that, dude. Like, I can't think of anything else that it could be. Yeah. And
go ahead.
And yeah, it's like in the book, in Irreversible Damage, like, she interviewed like over 5,000 trans people for this book. And most of them said that they were introduced to the idea by trans influencers or trans YouTubers. They just stumbled upon it and it resonated with them and they went along with it.
It used to be as simple as, you know, the biggest thing that came out with teenage girls, especially, was when social media started becoming so big, is they'd see these beautiful celebrities who have all the money in the world to do all these different diet programs and have the best personal trainers and they have the best clothes. And these women would, or these teenage girls would look at these women and they would feel bad about themselves because, like, hey, why don't I look like that? And now it has become so complicated. Some of these dudes that have transitioned, I mean, no cap, they are hot chicks. Got great boobies.
I know, right?
They are hot, got great boobies. I mean, the whole fucking nine, they are just hot chicks. And so how do you keep your kid from looking at that and not thinking, hey, maybe that's the avenue I have to take? I have a little boy and I have a little girl. My son was born, 4 months ago, and my daughter is going on 2 this October. I'm telling you right now, if a doctor or a teacher or any influencer tried to influence my kid to saying, hey, maybe you're having these issues because you're trans, I think I would come unfucking cunted. I would come unglued. I would be going to school board, the hospital board. I mean, I would lose my shit. And I think a lot of parents are scared that if they do that, you know, maybe the kids will be taken away from them. I mean, we've seen that in some places in the States.
100%. And that's a very real risk. There are even, like, bills that are trying to be passed that if parents don't subscribe, if they don't go along with, you know, the transgenderism, they can have their kid removed. It's happened so many times already, like, particularly young girls that go to college and you know, they've never had gender dysphoria. They were completely heterosexual, completely normal, never displayed signs of gender dysphoria. And then they come back for the holidays and all of a sudden they reckon they're trans and their parents are like, no, what's happened? You've been influenced negatively. Like, no, you're not trans. And the girl puts out fucking restraining orders on their parents and blocks them from their life and completely just ditches their family. And quite often, like there's a few examples of it in Abigail Schreier's book, they tend to come back after a few years, but the damage has already been done. They've already been on puberty blockers, they've already been on testosterone, they've already had mastectomies, they've already been wearing binders. So binders really damage breast tissue. Like it's really, really, really damaging to your breasts. And when you wear them for any lengthy amount of time, your breasts become deformed, they become more prone to cancer, and they lose their function. Like, so you won't be able to breastfeed properly, if at all, and things like that. But by the time these girls realize that it was the wrong decision, it's too late.
And you see, like, there's a very high percentage of people, I think it's over 50%, that once they transition, they actually try to transition back, and they've been on these hormones for so long that when they finally start the detransition process, those hormones, the lack thereof now, are completely just screwing with their brain chemistry, and they go from being, you know, a person with, you know, induced, I guess you can call it, gender dysphoria, to now they have real depression issues. They have real suicide issues. I mean, they have real problems.
Oh, absolutely. Not just that, but their fertility is often always gone as well. Particularly, like, the younger you transition, like, if you go on puberty blockers before, you know, your puberty's even begun, or if it's not fully complete, quite often you will be infertile and sex will be extremely painful. Your body is not formed correctly and looks unusual, and that's hard to deal with. I hate the idea that, you know, we're encouraging it. Like, the moment that a young girl starts displaying, you know, tomboyish characteristics, they question and they introduce the idea to the young girl, maybe you're trans. And the young girl doesn't know fucking anything. Like, she's a young kid, right? She's like, oh, maybe I am. And then, you know, they put them on these puberty blockers and just completely fucking destroy them. There is such thing as a tomboy. Like, I was a tomboy. I've got three older brothers, and people used to mistake me for a boy quite often. I used to wear my brother's old clothes because we were poor, and my mum used to give us bowl cuts, all of us. And
that's
like,
yeah,
I did look like a boy for quite a while there. I'm just so grateful that I didn't grow up in this era, and I'm so grateful that no one said to me, maybe you're trans, because fuck knows how I would have gone with that. Like, I could have fallen into that trap. Now I'm extremely feminine. I'm happy to be a woman. And yeah, I'm really lucky that I grew up back then before all this craziness took place.
Where do you draw the line between letting adults do what they feel like is best for, like, themselves and the effects that it'll have on the culture? So, like, for example, I used to subscribe to the ideology that, hey, these, you know, once you turn 18, once you're out of the house, you can do whatever you want. Just keep it away from my children. And that ideology has led to, hey, if we don't teach your children ASAP how important gender ideology is and how to accept everybody, they're never going to accept us, blah, blah, blah. So now it's gone from, hey, do whatever you want as an adult, to now make sure your kids know so they can go trans, or they can accept the trans community and realize that it's just another form of normal. Like, where do you draw the line between accepting that these kind of people exist, you know, this kind of thing exists, and the implications it has on society as a whole.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't have a problem. If you're an adult and you want to transition, absolutely. I think, like, my whole motto is, like, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't influence others or impact others negatively. Unfortunately, we've got trans activists out there that are insistent on teaching kids as young as five. Like, they've now got this gender-bred person who is a part of loads of modern-day curriculum, teaching kids literally as young as five that gender is a spectrum. Only you know your true gender identity, and you can choose your gender. I think that's so confusing and ultimately harmful for kids, because kids don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, they have no idea. It's up to us to teach them. And if you put an idea in their head that, you know, gender is a spectrum, that they're going to go with that. They're going to roll with that. And I really worry about this next generation coming up that are being taught these things, because I don't know, dude. I don't think sexuality or gender identity should be taught to kids at all. Like, maybe when they're a little bit older, like in their teens or something, like when you're doing your normal sexual education, like, introduce the idea then. But five is far too young. Like, we've got over in America, like in your place, you've got fucking trans, what are they called? Drag queens going into libraries and reading transgender books to kids, to little teeny tiny kids.
There's been numerous stories, especially in Hennepin County. Minnesota is just a shit show right now with all that stuff happening with George Floyd and their government, and now the trans ideology. Like, in Hennepin County, which is, I think it's a county in Minneapolis, which is like the big city, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, or the Twin Cities there. They have now, the Hennepin County Library has now started the Drag Queen Story Hour, where kids as young as, you know, 3, 4, 5, the ages you're talking about, will go in there and they will read. They will be read stories from drag queens, and the whole gender indoctrination process starts there. And they've had a lot of issues with a lot of these drag queens coming in who identify as trans this, trans that, that are actually sex offenders. And there was a video that went out.
Yeah.
There was actually a video that went out where this verified sex offender, he was on the registry, you know, all you have to do is look him up. He was having these children crawl all over him to make sure that they are comfortable with drag queens and the different genders in the gender spectrum.
Yeah, it's fucking insane, bro. It's literally, it just makes no sense to me how any parent could look at that and think, oh, this is good for my kid. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I understand you want to be accepting and progressive and all that sort of shit, but just open your eyes and see what's actually happening here. Like, it's not healthy. Like, the way that I see, you know, the drag queens going in and talking to young kids, it's exactly the same as a female stripper going in and you know, encouraging strippers. Like, it's just as provocative.
Oh, absolutely. And then you look at, do you know anything about this kid named Desmond is Amazing? Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's like 11, or he was 11 when he got famous. I think he's probably 14, 15 now. This kid, you know, identified as a gender neutral. He did the whole drag queen thing, and he was actually stripping, or, you know, doing a dance routine at a gay club where these, you know, 40-year-old gay men are putting dollar bills in this 11-year-old's, like, panties that he's wearing as a drag queen. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that, this is the rabbit hole this whole gender ideology thing has opened for everyone to see.
I know, it's such a slippery slope. Have you heard of the documentary Transhood?
I've seen it. I've seen that it exists. I just haven't watched it.
Okay, so they follow all these trans families, and there's this boy, biological boy, who is 4 years old, and his mum has basically pushed him into being trans. Like, a blind person could see that it's his mother's influence. Like, she's reading him these books and dressing him and telling him nonstop, flat out, that, you know, you're a girl. Like, a four-year-old is only going to believe what it's told. And when you've got a mother telling it that it's a fucking girl, obviously the kid is going to think it's a girl. And I think that's child abuse.
It's Munchausen's. Do you know what Munchausen's is? I think I'm pretty sure I said that right. Munchausen's, I think.
No, I haven't heard of that.
It's basically where, like, parents or some sort of, like, legal guardian, and, you know, I have listeners that will fact-check me because they're always trying to troll me, where they will legitimately put an illness that they see in themselves or something that they know will garner attention, and they'll push it on people that are close to them. And so that's a lot of times these parents that are, you know, heavily indulged in this gender ideology bullshit will push it on their kids because they know they will get the attention for it.
Yeah, honestly, like, one of the families, I can't remember her name or his name, but it was this little boy, and his mum wrote a book about, you know, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a transgender book, and she was saying that, you know, we've got to go and do these book signings, and the kid was like, I don't want to, like, this has ruined my life.
Oh, I've seen that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, that was, honestly, like, the kid was saying, no, I don't want to do this. Like, it's ruined my life. And the mother was like, no, well, you've got to do it. Like, that is the mother. Like, the mother wants to do it. The kid doesn't. He said it clear as fucking day. And the mother is still trying to enforce it. I don't know whether it's, like, a monetary thing or an attention thing. But the kid clearly wasn't into it.
Well, yeah, it's probably a combination of the two. They're probably getting compensation from all the news outlets that they go on, or the books they read, or the appearances that they make. What would you say to, or what would you do, like, either on a government level or on a society level for, hey, my mother is trying to convince me I'm trans, and my father is trying to do what's right and allow me to develop on my own? Like, how would you solve that dynamic?
Honestly, I think it would be, like, such a case-by-case basis, but I genuinely think if you've got any parent influencing their kid into something that is biologically incorrect, I think that's child abuse. Like, considering the trans suicide rate is so high, why the fuck would you be encouraging it?
Well, we've had these cases in the United States where, like, people in a very liberal state, the mom or the dad will want to do something that's harmful to the kid, especially, like, in the gender ideology, you know, spectrum. And the other parent will be like, I don't want this. The parents will get divorced, and then obviously a court case will come. Most of the time, the parent that's trying to keep the kid away from that ideology loses the court case. They lose custody. They lose visitation rights. And then the parent who's influencing this child gets to take them in all these doctor's appointments and take them in all these appearances. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely asinine.
It really is, dude. Like, I saw a video the other day. This dad was recording his kid, and, you know, he was a boy, and the mum thought that he was trans and was trying to, you know, force him into becoming a girl. And that's why they divorced. That's why they separated. They had equal custody. And every time the boy went to the dad's house, he would say that, you know, mummy's been painting my nails and putting me in dresses, and, you know, his room was pink and as girly as could be, and he didn't like it. And he was straight up telling his dad that I don't want to go there. And his dad had fucking zero power.
I think the dad is almost at a disadvantage, because if he comes out against this, then you're going to have all the people that are calling him transphobes and saying he's a bigot and a homophobe and this phobe, that phobe. And, I mean, they're at a real disadvantage. The father loses everything. He loses his son. He loses his marriage. And then he loses his credibility in society.
Absolutely. And no one's actually looking at the child. Like, no one's, like, you're focusing on the kid. Like, the kid's telling you, plain as day, I don't want to go there. She's dressing me up. She's doing this. Like, it's not me. And he's got footage of it, which is the most just incredible thing to me, that, like, it's coming straight from the horse's mouth. This kid is saying, like, I don't want to go there. She's making me do this. And the dad tries to talk out about it, and he's deemed transphobic and fucking, like, the devil. And, you know, like, it's just so silly. Like, we have really lost our way. Like, modern day society honestly frightens me. I really hate to think how we're going to be in 10, 20 years if we keep this shit up.
Now, we've been going about 41 minutes now on the whole, like, gender ideology thing. And you and I've seen your videos on TikTok where you're pretty passionate about COVID too. So I kind of want to get to that. I kind of want to get to that portion of the conversation now. But just to wrap everything up, if you were emperor, you are now Emperor Katie for the rest of the day. What would you do to fix this issue, or to at least try to hamper it down?
Okay, first and foremost, women-only spaces, not for up for debate. Like, they are important. They're about safety, and they are for biological women. Okay, I don't care how you identify. Women-only spaces should be for people that have uteruses or children. Okay, that's just a fucking given. Secondly, I think stop encouraging it. Like, I don't think kids should be introduced to this idea until, you know, at least puberty. Just keep it out of primary schools. And I think, you know, the whole transphobic thing, like the moment you say anything even negative about trans people, whether they deserve it or not, it's deemed transphobic and you're cancelled and you're shut up and you're silenced and you're censored. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Thirdly, women's sports, another thing just for women, stay the fuck out of it. What else? I think a huge amount of therapy should take place first before any sort of exogenous hormones or drugs are given to any adolescent. I think therapy for at least 6 months would be proactive. I think that could weed out some of the people that are simply confused. Yeah, that'd be a start.
I think to go along with that, it would be to limit the amount of stuff that's being pushed on social media trying to encourage this different kind of this gender ideology. I've always subscribed to the idea that gender is a spectrum, but it's divided into two separate spectrums, the man spectrum and the woman spectrum. And there are masculine and feminine men, just like there are masculine and feminine women. But never has a woman ever been so masculine that it now goes on to the other side and that woman is now a man. Never, ever has that ever been a true statement whatsoever. Biology rules all. I had some argument with some idiot on one of your TikToks that was, you know, talking about science and science this and micro neurology, whatever the hell she said. And why do we forget about, I don't know, biology?
100%. Like, I don't know if you saw this story the other day, but there was a professor at a university that apologized profusely for using the term pregnant woman. And he said, you know, I didn't mean to offend anyone. Offending someone is the worst thing that someone could ever do. And I didn't mean to discount trans people. And I should have said pregnant people. I'm so, so, so sorry. That's a professor at a medical school. If you can't recognize biological differences as a professor at a fucking medical school, we're in big, big trouble.
No, honestly, everything we've been saying for the last 45 minutes, I can't agree with you more on all of it. I think it's a massive issue. It's affecting our kids. It's affecting society as a whole. And now it's starting to affect, you know, other places all over the world. It's not just the United States anymore. But what I want to hear now is how you feel about how Australia is handling the whole COVID pandemic thing. I live in Florida. Florida's wide open.
Uh-oh.
And Governor DeSantis has taken he's all over all the news stations, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, NBC. I mean, literally everything. How do you feel about how Australia's handling it?
Honestly, it scares me to no end. Our liberty, our freedom has been completely and utterly removed. For 900 deaths, we've literally had about 943 deaths so far, and that's comparable to what the flu, like that's comparable to how many people would die of the flu. Yet we've closed our businesses down, our economy is fucking terrible right now, people's mental health, like more people have committed suicide over this than actual deaths from COVID. And our government are just being really, like, dictatorship-y. Like, it's so scary, dude. Like, as I said, I live in the middle of fucking nowhere, but we are legally required to wear a mask. And I'm in a community of about 60 people. And, you know, we rarely get people coming from other places. And we're in such a strict lockdown that, you know, it's affected businesses. Mental health is the biggest thing for me. I don't think they're looking at the bigger picture. Like, to close down our economy and to ruin people's businesses and livelihoods and happiness over 900 deaths. Like, obviously any death is tragic, but you've got to look at it in like a relative scale, and they're not doing that. They're focusing far too heavily on this fucking flu.
have you ever had COVID?
No, dude, I don't know anyone that has personally had COVID.
So I got vaccinated for my job because I could see the different like privileges coming down the line for those who are vaccinated and unvaccinated. So just to save myself the trouble and save myself the ass chewings, because you know I'm in the military, I didn't want to deal with the ass chewings. I went ahead and got the vaccine. I got the Pfizer shot, the two shots. 5 days after the first shot, I tested positive for COVID, and I was sick for I was sick for maybe 3 days. You know, I had the sniffles. I had a pretty decent headache. I lost my taste and smell. At the time, I had a pregnant wife, so that in and of itself is one of those pre-existing conditions that can lead to really big COVID issues. I also had a, basically a 15 or 16-month-old daughter who was around me the entire time, and they say that before you actually test positive for COVID, you are the most contagious about 4 or 5 days before you actually know you have it. I was the only person who got sick. The only person. And we didn't do, like, we tried doing the whole quarantine thing for 2 days, but having my wife sleep on the couch was just, it was horrible, you know, and my wife was pregnant, and, you know, the only reason I slept in the bed and didn't sleep on the couch is because we had a family friend living with us, and I didn't need to be in the common spaces. So we basically
it's weird. They say that, like, pregnant people and children are not as susceptible to the rest of us.
Well, and I think there's probably some legitimacy to that because no one in my house other than me got sick. There was another woman living in our house that didn't get sick at all, and I was sick for maybe 2 or 3 days. But let me tell you, the day that I tested positive, it was like I just killed somebody. I had to go to doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment. I had to be quarantined. I had to tell my bosses where I was, who I was around, if anyone spent more than 10 minutes with me within 6 feet. You know, my job is all about talking to people and being in close spaces with each other. So if I wanted to, the whole entire command would have been in some sort of quarantine or whatever. And I mean, the way they've handled this for, I mean, I think now over, I think almost 600,000 people in the United States have died, but no one can trust the numbers. No one has any idea who's actually died from this thing. You said in Australia only 900 people have died. What is, like, what's the population of Australia? I don't know off the top of my head.
It's about 21 million. Might be 22 now.
Yeah, so I don't have to do the math to realize that 900 out of 21 million or 22 million or whatever you said is not that much. It's an extremely small fraction
of people. It really isn't.
And then you look at how many people have actually had the thing. This is no different or no worse than the flu. You just get different symptoms. So why is it that all of these world governments are coming out of left field and deciding to do the same thing across all these different countries? I mean, I think they're probably all working hand in hand to make it seem like a bigger deal than it is.
It very much seems that way, my bro. Like, I don't want to sound all fucking tin hat foily, but it's so sus. Like, I've just got this really bad gut feeling about it, and I don't trust the media at fucking all. I don't think they're being transparent. I think they're being completely and utterly dishonest. The other day, a 35-year-old young healthy woman died from the vaccine, and they actively tried to cover it up.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, this vaccine, I'm very pro-vaccine. I think a lot of the people, you know, like you said, the tinfoil hat stuff, I think a lot of the people, the reasons they won't get the vaccine is very stupid. You know, like, oh, well, Bill Gates funded the vaccine and, you know, George Soros and microchips and 5G and whatever the fuck. I think all that's stupid. But there is no reason that someone my age, you know, if they weren't in my specific scenario, a healthy 25-year-old man or woman needs to get a COVID vaccine. All they need to do is get COVID, get some sort of built-up immunity. What's your opinion 100%. On the vaccine as a whole?
Okay, so I think if you're you know, vulnerable, if you're elderly, obese, or, you know, you've got pre-existing conditions, get the vaccine. Fucking oath. Like, if you think that's going to give you some protection, absolutely do it. I'm a 27-year-old healthy woman. I'd rather take my chances with COVID than the vaccine. Honestly, like, this vaccine has proven, you know, that it's not safe compared to other vaccines. Like, I think I saw somewhere this morning that it's like there's been 25 deaths or something, like, just within Australia. That's more than any other vaccine death ever. So, like, why the fuck are they pushing it so much? And I just hate the fact that, you know, they're trying to make it mandatory. And, well, not just, like, mandatory, but they're basically saying, like, a lot of occupations these days, like in the health sector, it was either get the jab or lose your job. And to me, that is just complete and utter coercion. Like, there's no freedom there. It's like, okay, so I can choose not to get the vaccine, but I'll lose my livelihood. Like, that's not a choice to me.
No, not at all. It's coercion in the purest form of the word. Do you believe in mandatory vaccines just across the board?
Absolutely not. Not a chance. I think that, you know, people should be able to take personal responsibility for their health. Like, if they said to me, okay, you've either got to get COVID, like we've got to give you COVID or give you the vaccine, I'd take COVID.
If it wasn't for my current situation, I would 100% agree with you. My wife isn't going to get it. There's no reason for my wife to get it. She's also 25. There's absolutely no reason for her to get it. However, her grandparents are very, very, I mean, they are the type of people that COVID would really mess up. I mean, they are. So they got the vaccine, yeah. and it's perfectly fine, you know. But there are also a lot of people who, I mean, they've not gone to funerals. They've not visited their family. They've not seen their friends. And in basically a year and a half now because of this disease, like, where do you draw the line between keeping yourself safe and realizing that, hey, people get sick every single day. People die every single day from different reasons. We can't affect everything.
Absolutely. And, like, I think the biggest issue with COVID is not, you know, the fucking illness itself. I think this whole pandemic, like, the negative impact that it has had on people's lives, like, people are having weddings with 5 guests. You know, they're not going to their graduation. They're not having birthday parties. They're not celebrating big milestones, or they're unable to. I think that's extremely detrimental to people's mental health, and I think that's more important than a fucking flu.
What would you do if you were in government right now with COVID? Because, I mean, you do have to protect some people, obviously. That's the role of government, but where do you draw the line between, you know, locking down the entire country and destroying the economy for working class people and basically doing nothing, like, what was it, Switzerland or something, I think, did it like that?
Yeah, like they tried to go for the herd immunity thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I were in charge, I would make it completely and utterly voluntary. Like, it would be, it's up to you if you want to get it or not. Like, if you're susceptible to illness or vulnerable or unhealthy in any way, absolutely, you get it. If you don't want it, I know this sounds fucking crazy, but I reckon give it to them. Like, give them COVID. Like, let them get natural antibodies. Like, for the younger generation, like under 40s, you've got like a 99.7% survival rate. Like, it's pretty fucking good odds. And I think that, you know, you should just give your body the chance to do its job. Like, we've got an immune system for a fucking reason. Like, why are we not using that?
Well, at this point now, it's not like we don't have anything to treat. You know, like when it first came out and it first started becoming an issue, I mean, it was a pandemic. It was a bigger issue because we've never seen it before. We didn't know where it came from. We don't know how to treat it. We don't know how to, you know, keep people from getting it, and all these different studies and all these different, you know, the CDC and then the WHO and all these different like health organizations that are saying, you know, contradicting things. But now we have a vast amount of different treatments. We have Regeneron, we have the hydrochloroquine and stuff like that. We have the, hey, you're 27, all right, you'll be all right. Just, you know, wait it out. You'll have a sniffles for a few days and a headache. But there seems to just be no common sense anywhere, in any government anywhere.
Absolutely.
Except for Florida and the United States.
But But, like, I think the lack of just normal health advice, like no one has said, hey, eat well, exercise, sleep well, drink enough water, take vitamins, get enough sun. Like, the lockdown to me seems completely and utterly counterproductive. Like, it's been proven, multiple studies, that, you know, we need vitamin D, and if you've got sufficient vitamin D, you're going to be able to fight this virus much, much more easily. And by putting people in their houses, literally inhibiting them from getting vitamin D, you're not fucking helping, bro. Like, you're making the situation 10
times
worse.
You're not helping, and you're not stopping the spread of the virus. You're just delaying it. Because what happens when you let everyone back out of their house? They're going out, and they're going to start infecting people with COVID. How do you feel about the masks?
Oh, my goodness. I hate them. I hate them so much. I honestly, like, I get lightheaded. It's obviously uncomfortable. That's probably the least of my worry. But, you know, I think it can't be good for you, breathing your own breath all day. And I was listening to a podcast the other day where it was a scientist saying that it's actually extremely bad for your immune system, because you breathe out a lot of germs and bacteria, and by breathing them back in, you're perpetuating them. You're making them worse, and you're actually limiting the flora that your body is able to, you know, receive, and it's weakening your immune system.
I think the masks started out as something good intentioned, you know, because they stop something. You know, if I sneeze into a mask, I'm going to put less germs out into the air than if I sneeze, you know, without one on. However, they have morphed from some sort of safety precaution and, you know, last resort to a political symbol as to how strong you feel about COVID. You know, I know people that will wear a mask by themselves in a car while driving on a 3-hour trip. And I actually...
Oh my God, I've seen that. I've seen people driving on their own with a fucking mask on, and I think, you absolute idiot.
Oh, and I'm so sick of it. I changed my my AirDrop name in my phone to mask while driving, and every time that I pull up next to someone at like a stoplight or something that's wearing a mask and they're by themselves, I just hope to God they have AirDrop. Because I send this a meme that's like, nice mask, idiot, and it's some dude holding up two thumbs. I mean, it's just so fucking asinine, and people have absolutely zero common sense. And think about it.
I know.
There was a study done in Florida. A bunch of like immunologists and microbiologists grabbed a couple masks from like a lot of these kids that are wearing it in school now. And they tried to take samples of the mask and see what they could culture from the mask, see what kind of bacteria they could grow. And they were growing shit like tetanus. They were growing shit like typhus and yellow fever and E. coli. I mean, they were growing all kinds of shit from these people's, from these little kids' masks. And you still have the school board in Florida trying to keep 7-year-olds in masks all day, every day, keep them 10 foot away from each other in their little desk. I mean, the COVID madness is, the COVIDiots are just out in force.
Oh, for sure. And like the whole kids wearing mask thing at school every day, honestly, I worry about what that's going to do with their psyche. Like, they're probably going to think that, you know, everyone's dirty. Like, I think it's going to create a shitload of germophobes, and people are, I think it's going to have a very negative impact on their psyche.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. There's been people that, you know, like, hey, when's the end to the masks? You know, there's been a lot of interviews, a lot of these big time people in the Biden administration right now, and they're like, what is the end to these masks? And they go on and on about their political spiel, and they dance around the question, but then they'll say things like, hey, you know, I can't believe we weren't wearing masks beforehand. Why weren't we wearing masks, you know, during flu season? It's just, it's gross and it's disgusting. Have you ever been to, like, anywhere in Asia?
Yes, yeah, heaps of places.
Yeah, like, they were wearing masks before it was cool, man. And all of us used to look at that and be like, what the fuck is that mask doing? Like, what the fuck is that little, teeny, tiny, disposable mask?
Like, the only reason they do that is because they're considerate. Like, they only wear a mask when they're unwell and they don't want to spread it. Like, that makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But then, like... It, for me, it's the mindset we all have. Like, my first deployment I ever did came straight to Asia, and like it was before COVID, you know, became a thing, and I'm seeing all these people wearing masks and they look healthy to me, and it's like, what is that mask doing for you? I understand you're trying to be considerate, that's cool, but like, what is that thing doing for you? Especially when you wear the same mask over and over and over again, you sneeze, fart, shit in it, whatever you do, and it's asinine. The whole entire COVID pandemic, and I put pandemic in quotes, has been ridiculous. The first 3 months of this whole COVID thing was the only pandemic that ever, it's the closest thing it ever came to a pandemic.
Honestly, dude, like when this first happened, I was actually set, like I was supposed to move back over to London, and I had my flight booked and everything, and I was like, holy fuck, like the world is ending. Like I was like, oh my God, the world's ending. Like what's going on? I started drinking heavily and just doing real risky shit. And then I sort of like a few weeks passed and I was like, oh, it's not actually that bad. Like it's going to blow over. I thought that I'd still make my flight, which was like in a couple weeks. And then I got the email saying that, you know, the flight's been canceled and you've been refunded. And I was just like, oh God, no. It's a bit
You're stuck there
thought.
Forever. And COVID has kept you in one place forever.
Yeah. And honestly, like I went through a very, 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 very full-blown depression. Like honestly, I'd never experienced depression before, and I get it now. Like I never understood depression or suicidal thoughts until last year, and I experienced it myself, and I was like, wow, this is fucking powerful. Like you feel like shit all of the time. Like I remember I used to wake up and be frustrated because my dreams were better than my reality.
Well, and, you know, you were strong enough to grow out of that, but by whatever means that you had to do so. But what about people who have been living like that for the last year and a half? I mean, you already commented on the suicide rates. I mean, how does the government tell those people, hey, it's okay, it's fine, you can still live your life, while also saying, hey, don't leave your house or you will die from the big bad COVID monster?
Dude, honestly, that's the biggest concern, is that they don't shed any light on it. Like, they're not talking about mental health. They're not talking about the ridiculous amount of suicides that are taking place. It's all hush-hush. It's all fear-mongering. And it's turning Aussies against each other. Like, our New South Wales governor the other day, her name's Gladys some shit. I don't know what her last name is. I call her Gladiator. she literally went on and she did a press conference saying that, you know, if you see someone not wearing a mask or doing, you know, the wrong thing or sitting too close together, call this number. And they've got like a tattletale hotline. And it's just absolutely obscene to me that, you know, she's encouraging Aussies to turn on each other. Like it's like they're trying to divide us and they're fucking succeeding.
Like, well, it's like hey,
the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And I think that's absolutely disgusting. It's so un-Australian. Like, that's not where our values come from. We look after our mates. We stand next to our neighbours. We support each other. We definitely don't fucking throw someone under the bus. And this ridiculous government is trying to encourage that sort of shit. And I just fucking hate it.
Oh, yeah. The same people that were saying, you know, when Trump was in office that they're going to punch Nazis are now asking for your vaccination papers. You know, I mean, the whole entire hypocrisy, the whole entire thing just bothers me to no end. Do you know anyone personally that's ever had COVID or even gotten sick during this time?
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's sort of like, and like I've asked so many people, like, do you know anyone? And like, it was sort of, it seemed like a bit of a fucking conspiracy theory for a while because everyone was like, dude, who are all these people getting COVID? Like, no one knows anyone that knows anyone that's had it. So who the fuck are these people dying from?
Well, I know quite a bit of people who have, you know, tested positive for COVID. But the tests are inaccurate in and of themselves. You know, all it tests for is a coronavirus. It doesn't test for COVID-19. It tests for a coronavirus.
Dude, and I saw that this morning, PCR test that apparently can't tell if it's a flu or COVID.
Yeah, so a lot of these people who just had the sniffles were going in there and, you know, testing positive for COVID. And in the States, you know, we used to have anywhere between, you know, 4 and 5, I think it was probably closer to 40 or 50, I can't remember the exact numbers, but a shitload of flu like influenza diagnoses, or I can't remember the word, I'm blanking on it. But you have all these flu cases every single year. And ever since COVID exists, it's down below triple digits. Like, it's like, hey, we've had 75 flu cases the last year. Like, does anyone, is anyone seeing?
The exact same thing has happened here, bro. Like, flu is just not a thing. Like, usually we'd have multiple thousands of people die of the flu every year, like, particularly elderly people. And that's just not happening anymore. Like, they're no longer talking about flu deaths. It's just COVID deaths. And, like, it's making me wonder, like, are all of these, you know, COVID tests that are positive, is it COVID or is it just a flu? Like, if the test is unable to detect the difference, have we just fucked over our economy and everyone's state of well-being for the fucking flu?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, that's what I've been thinking the entire time. From the very get-go, I mean, the first time I ever heard about COVID, I was like, yeah, it sounds a lot like the flu to me. And, like, it was funny because my mother-in-law is a nurse, and, you know, at the time, she was like, well, this is different than COVID. It's a little bit more deadly. It's twice as deadly as COVID. And you know, twice as deadly as the flu is 99.8%. Something with a 99.8% survival rate is twice as deadly as the flu, because the flu is 99.9% effective. So, you know, that people don't have common sense. Common sense ain't all that common. You know, across the entire world, people look at this. COVID is not a big deal. And even like elderly and people with pre-existing conditions, their survival rate is still in the 90s. It may be 91 or 92%, which is very deadly compared to, you know, other things. But that's still, I mean, you have a 1 in 10 shot of dying, which is better odds than most people have just driving to and from work every day.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know. I just think this, the state of the world, like what we've done to this planet, it seems far worse to me than the actual illness itself.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more on that. But we're running low on time here. We probably got about 2 or 3 minutes. Gas yourself up for a little bit and tell people where they can find you at on social media and stuff like that. Because I know you got like a YouTube channel, correct?
Yeah. So yeah, I sort of started my YouTube channel just because my videos on TikTok get removed fucking left, right, and center, bro. Like, I get about 3 or 4 videos removed a week. It's, the censorship is killing me. So I made the YouTube channel thinking that, you know, I could make longer videos and go into more depth and perhaps it would be less censored. So that is KT-TV, all in capital letters. My TikTok is at too much sugar on her cereal. And that's pretty much it. I don't really do any other social media these days. I'm sort of over it.
For my listeners, make sure you go and follow her on TikTok. She gets in arguments all the time. Honestly, watching your TikTok is probably my favorite videos on TikTok to watch, because you are just blunt. I mean, you're telling these people they're just morons, and that's what I love. I wish I could get away with it, but because I'm a man, it comes off a lot more aggressive than you.
Oh, thanks, dude. That's awesome.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I'll see you later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the American Ethos Podcast. Feel free to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, these opinions are mine and mine only, and were not expressed on behalf of the United States Navy or Department of Defense. Thank you very much. See you next time.